step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.
Chase and Michelle, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. You know, there are sometimes the in-the-break conversations are better than what's on the air.
Tee! Hashtag but off the record.
Off the record. Maybe that's a podcast we do someday. We'll see. Hour number two, Chase McKay, Michelle Knezevic. Reporter Nick Keyser behind the glass. What are we reporting on today? You got any news to report on? You got anything?
What do you want to know about?
I don't know.
I know that Tom Brady's still the GOAT.
He is. That's true.
And I know that you guys will have a new kicker next year.
Well, I'm a fan. I don't work with him.
Well, you are the only person I know that loves the Cowboys as much as you do.
I know. Can I see, now you've set something up. This is a tangent. But I am adamantly against calling your favorite team and saying we. Now, if you say we about Kentucky, that's okay. You went there. Like, if I say we about MTSU, I went there.
Yeah.
But, like, I get it's a pet peeve. When people are like,
I know a lot of people.
We almost had it this year. Really? Do you work for the team? I didn't know that. Congratulations.
I know a lot of people who say we about UT.
I know. People do it all the time. And I'm being get off my lawn guy right now. But, you know, it just.
Listen, I don't not agree. So I do agree.
Yeah, I don't say we when I'm talking about the Titans or the Cowboys I'm not picking on you, Nick. I'm just you sparked something.
It's okay.
Me.
It's quite okay.
James. I usually pick on you, but I'm actually not picking on you right there.
I do have some news to report.
Okay.
So
reporter Michelle.
New to the Pro Football Hall of Fame, the jersey that Titans rookie punter Ryan Stonehouse was wearing when he broke the Hall of Famer Sammy Bowes, 82-year-old, single-season NFL record of 51.40 yards per punt with 53.1.
Kid's an all-pro.
So, also, cleats are heading up to Cannon as well. So, pretty awesome for Stoney. He's got to work on his hang time a bit, come back next year, but solid rookie year for that guy.
Is Stoney his nickname? Is that what people call him?
Yeah, I think okay. Stoney. I've heard it in the locker room a couple times. Also, I did find out the game when Randy Bullock, whether it was he pulled the muscle in his calf or you remember that?
Yeah.
That was the first time Ryan Stonehouse had ever kicked off in a football game in his life.
Oh, wow.
He had done it, like he said, maybe once or twice in high school. But he was like, yeah, they told me about 10 minutes before. And I was like, all right, got to do it.
I mean, he's got the leg for it.
Oh, yes, he does.
You know, I don't know why he wouldn't try. Okay. This is what we got this weekend. Jags at Chiefs, Giants at Eagles, Bengals at Bills, Cowboys at 49ers. That's the playoff slate for divisional weekend. What team, Michelle, that's still alive scares you or should scare you the most?
The 49ers.
Okay. I think that's a good one.
I know they have Brock Purdy at quarterback, but listen, we've seen the Seahawks. They were a playoff team. I thought that it was actually going to be a close game. That kid, Brock Purdy, and I hate that I'm calling him a kid. I shouldn't because we're probably about a couple years apart. Brock Purdy has made some moves where it's not just everybody else around him. Why are you laughing?
Because I had a joke in my head and you two were going to boo me, so I just decided not to say it.
The 49ers scare me, and also the Bengals, but I have a little asterisk next to the Bengals. I'm worried about the offensive line.
Yeah. So I agree on the 49ers as the obvious one. Mm-hmm. The one that I think people really need to watch out for, the New York Football Giants.
Ooh, okay, yeah. I like
I
hope Sean Henry's listening.
I'm sure he is. I am very interested in the Giants and Eagles because, I mean, Hurts can't be 100%. So now the Eagles have to prove it, but I do worry like they've never been there before. Or this group has not been there before. So,
well, and what we see last year with the two one seeds. I mean, it's not out of the question, right? We talk about, I even think the Jags are going to give the Chiefs a game. I think the Chiefs come out on top, but I think the Jags give them a game.
They might. I just worry, did they use it all up last week in that comeback? I mean, you see that sometimes where it's like they so emotional and put so much into it.
I thought that about the Cowboys game in season. I know this is playoff football, it's different, but I thought about that about the Cowboys game, and then the next week, right, or next 2 weeks, right, they get the wins over the Jets and then also the Tennessee Titans.
Now, if the Cowboys get through the 49ers, then I mean, I would say the Cowboys have a really, really good shot of coming out of the NFC. Because that means Dak won the game. Because that's what's going to have to happen. Dak's going to have to win the game against the 49ers.
Well, and to that point, right, we've seen it. I know he was injured for a bit of the season, out for 5 games. But we've seen him perform and look like the Dak last night. And then we've also seen him, for instance, here on Thursday Night Football.
Hot or cold.
And he's lucky that they were playing the Tennessee Titans in that game. But and he didn't have a shot to win, but you know, a couple interceptions, 2-2 Kevin Byard. So his consistency will be the difference maker in if this Cowboys team beats the 49ers. It comes down to him, I personally believe. You've got electric wide receivers, you've got a great defense. I was reading you Micah Parsons' stat line from last night, and I mean, he is performing at an elite level. I know I retweeted. Okay, Micah Parsons last night, 3 tackles, 2 tackles for loss, 1 sack, 2 pass breakups, 2 QB hits, and 9 pressures. I mean, that's just dominated on defense last night. So if Dak can stay consistent, I'm not saying he has to perform as well as he did last night, but you can't turn the ball over, and that's going to be the difference maker, I think, in the Cowboys' destiny.
Yeah, I think the defense will keep them in the game, but Dak's going to have to finish it. Dak is going to have to make the big throw, the big play. But we saw big energy Dak last night. I mean, that's what we saw. I mean, I go back to that 4th-and-1 touchdown run by him. That was a perfectly executed play. And that's the kind of stuff you got to run with Dak. You know, CD, Gallup, you know, those two guys obviously have a two-headed monster at running back. I mean, they have all the pieces. Dalton Schultz. Now, I think we had a texter earlier say this. I believe that the 49ers will try and take Schultz out of the game. Game plan, not take him out, but take him out of the game plan. It's funny. I was telling somebody, I was Jill, last night that whenever I take Schultz as an anytime touchdown score, he doesn't score. When I don't, he scores like 2 touchdowns. And
of course.
Guess what? Last night was a prime example of that.
Well, and another note on the Cowboys and Dak Prescott specifically, I think what really went in his favor last night in Tampa was he started off the game good. The thing I worry about with Dak is being able to bounce back after, whether it be after a turnover, whether it be after a 3-and-out, something like that, because that will happen. He's lucky that, you know, the Buccaneers defense isn't that good, but the 49ers defense is a top 2 defense in the NFL right now, and he's not going to be perfect the entire game. He needs to be able to compartmentalize what we saw Trevor Lawrence do against the Chargers the other night, threw 4 picks. Like, talk about the script he wrote in his head of how he thought the game was going to go, completely off script. And then he throws 4 touchdowns. That's what I need to see from Dak.
Yeah.
When the pressure gets to you.
100% agree with that, how he can adjust for sure. Coming up next, we'll get back into the Titans and their offensive coordinator search. There's been a couple of moves around the league this morning when it comes to coordinators. They also have another GM interview scheduled for today. We'll do that next and welcome your calls and texts at 615-737-1025. It's Chase and Michelle, 1025-1063, The Game.
Yeah, that's a good question. That's something that I wondered because, you know, the people who are in on the interview process, they're not exactly football people. So, you know, it's hard to get down and talk about the nitty-gritty part of roster building. But I think really when you look at it, it's all about looking at that plan that said candidate has, you know, some of the things that they feel that they could do in order to – build the roster and get it back to the point of where it was just 2 years ago, right? You know, because you look at this time a couple years ago, I mean, we're like, hey, this team is the number one seed in the AFC, and now here they are 7-10 and, you know, ending the season on a 7-game losing streak. So how can you get it back to that? I think that's a question that can really legitimately be asked in these interviews.
That's Jerron Davenport yesterday on the offensive coordinator philosophy. As he said that on Caroline, Willie, and D-Mace. Welcome back in, Chase and Michelle, 1025-1063, The Game. And I think it's an interesting question to ask of, you know, are you going to go with a similar system that they've had the last few years? Are you wanting to change philosophies? Obviously, the roster is going to have a lot to do, or how you build the roster is going to have a lot to do with everything. So I think that's something that Mike Vrabel and the new GM are going to be weighing. But I thought this was interesting, Michelle. Yesterday I'm listening to Stillman and Company, and Eric Bieniemy has been a name that has been out there for head coaching jobs for the last several years, and he hadn't gotten one. He's the offensive coordinator at Kansas City, and the report came out that the Titans had requested to interview both Eric Bieniemy and Matt Nagy, who are with the Chiefs. Nagy is a senior assistant and on the staff, was the OC, was the head coach in Chicago, and then Bieniemy has been there, you know, for a long time as well. And Jared kind of threw out, you know, his opinion that, you know, was Bieniemy a real candidate, or are they satisfying the Rooney Rule? Are they interviewing all these people just to go back to Tim Kelly? And to say, yeah, we looked outside, but ultimately decided to stay inside. And I understand where all that's coming from. Now, Bieniemy, to me, I know he wants to be a head coach. But for whatever reason, he hasn't been able to get that job. I think that this is real. And I think Bieniemy would be a really good hire, because anybody you can get out of the Andy Reid tree, mm-hmm. I think, is a win. And I believe that it would help his head coaching odds, because then he's coming here to call plays. He doesn't call plays right now. That's Andy Reid calls the plays. And I know he wouldn't have Mahomes, but I think it would be a really good fit. And you're getting a little bit of a different philosophy, which I don't think is a bad thing.
No, I completely agree. And I think the point you mentioned, I brought up this yesterday about, you know, bringing him in. Some people say, well, that's a lateral move for him. But no, because he would be getting the opportunity to call plays, which could be a reason that he's not getting a lot of head coaching jobs. But I will say this. When Nick Sirianni was with the Colts, he wasn't calling plays. Frank Reich was calling plays. We've seen him have success in Philadelphia. Then you get Nathaniel Hackett. Matt LaFleur was calling the plays in Green Bay. We saw how that worked in Denver. Mm-hmm. So, right, you can't just say, I mean, you can say that, you know, he's never called plays before, so that's the reason he's not getting a head coaching job, because we've seen it work out in positive ways, and we've also seen it work out in negative ways. But I do think that it would make him a more likable head coach, or a better option, if somebody could say, oh, we've seen him have success calling plays, and we've also seen him have success calling plays with not a top roster in the NFL if he were to come here with the Tennessee Titans.
Now, there's another offensive coordinator opening. The Chargers have fired their OC this morning. And you had an interesting stat on these, on the offensive coordinator openings and what they have in common.
Yeah, so Jeremy Fowler put this out about 20 minutes ago. It says, this marks the sixth NFL coordinator opening. Chargers, Commanders, Titans, Rams, Jets, Patriots. All of these teams will be revamping their offense attack in 2023. So I said to you, you know, what do the Chargers have that the other ones don't, the Commanders, Titans, Rams, Jets, and Patriots, and that's making it to the playoffs this year, but also what the Chargers have, which to me is why it's surprising they fired their OC and not Brandon Staley, they have an elite quarterback.
Yeah.
So, Commanders, you were back and forth between Wentz and Heinicke. We all know the situation here in Nashville. Rams had Stafford. He was out injury.
And he can be, I don't know if elite is the right word, but I mean, he's really good.
I mean, he won a Super Bowl.
Yeah, yeah, right?
It was good for the time he was with the Lions, but it was with the Lions. The Jets, we all know what happened there. That has just been a revolving door with those three guys and the Patriots. So is this a sign of a lot of NFL teams wanting to change their offenses and go towards more of a Kansas City offense?
I don't know. I mean, that's the other thing. Like the Kansas City offense, they have Mahomes, but they put up points before Mahomes got there. I mean, Alex Smith had some good years in that offense. So yeah. That's why I'm intrigued by somebody like Eric Bieniemy. You know, I am curious with these openings where Frank Reich might land, because I think he gets an OC job. I definitely think he gets an OC job somewhere.
Do you think he gets a head coaching job?
No. Not yet. I think he's going to have to go to the back of the line and work his way back. I don't see him getting a chance right away. But so let's see. Titans are open. Chargers are now open. That could be an interesting fit for Frank Reich.
Chargers?
Yeah. That could be a very interesting fit. Commanders are open. Who else?
Jets. Rams.
Jets could be an interesting fit. Rams.
Jets, Rams, and Commanders.
And the Rams, I put in the – is McVay going to come back?
Well,
I don't think so.
He's already come out and said, I'm coming back. He already made a statement.
Oh, did he?
Yeah. So that was a couple days ago. He already said that he was coming back.
I totally missed that.
he told his team. I think Diana Rossini tweeted it out. But, yeah, I saw that a couple days ago. Whether it was in between, it probably missed it in between Wild Card Weekend news and things like that. But I mean, who knows, right?
I'm surprised. I'm going to be honest with you. I'm surprised he ended up coming back.
Well, I was talking about this the other day of, you know, it would be the perfect opportunity for him to ride off into the sunset for a bit, especially because we talked about, you know, the Rams don't have another first round pick for a couple more years. You obviously are still recovering from that Super Bowl run and risking it all to get that team and OBJ and Stafford and all of those things. So I was like, it'd be the perfect opportunity for him to, hey, I'm going to go do some broadcasting for a couple years. He's a young guy. And then maybe get back into things. Okay, so yeah, the Rams tweeted it on the 13th. Sean McVay informed the team he's excited to return next season. Yeah, and Diana Rossini posted it out there. So.
Go ahead.
So he will be returning, but another good point. Whoever is going to be the OC, McVay's probably going to be calling the plays.
Yeah,
so.
I mean, that's what he's been doing. 615-737-1025. Let's go to Chris in Atlanta. He wants to weigh in on the Titans and Mike Vrabel. Chris, welcome in.
Hey, Chris.
So typically I have, you know, comments about the, but I actually have a question today. I want to see what y'all thought. If, say, we run it back with Ryan Tannehill and we bring in Tim Kelly internally and we don't go outside, how short is Mike Vrabel's leash? Because I feel like if we do all that, but then we are like one and done or we don't make the playoffs at all, do you think he gets fired? I just wanted to see what y'all thought about that.
Thanks for the call, Chris.
Thanks, Chris.
Good question. I think it depends on a lot of different things. What does the roster look like? What is the dynamic between the new GM and Vrabel? Is it what Amy Adams Strunk has said, that they both report to her? Because there's a lot to read into that. Mm-hmm. Her saying collaboration and they both report to me means that she's viewing them basically as equal. And so that means that Vrabel is going to have more say. So if they rebuild the roster or start to rebuild the roster, retool the roster, reload, whatever word you want to use, and it shows signs of life and the offense shows signs of being much better, then he's fine, even if they don't make the playoffs. If it doesn't show signs of life and shows that it's getting progressively worse, then I would say the Heat's going to turn up. I'm not going to sit here and say he's not going to get fired, and I don't think he's going to get fired yet, and I don't think he's on the hot seat. I can't say that because she fired Robinson in the middle of the season, and
saying that he was going to get fired. Okay, here's the way I view it, Chris. I think it depends on which the only person who really will know this is Amy Adams Shrunk and whoever is also conducting these general manager interviews. We know that Mike Vrabel is going to pick who he wants as OC. But I think what one big factor in this is how much say does Mike Vrabel have into who is the new OC? How much say is Amy giving him? Because if she is giving him say in the hiring of the general manager, obviously she'll have final say. She's the owner of the team. Mm-hmm. But how much input is she taking from him on who he wants to be picking the personnel? Because if that is the case and we don't see a big turnaround from this year to next year, I think his leash gets very, very short because she's made it very clear. She wants a championship here in Nashville.
Yeah.
And those two decisions will be on Mike Vrabel. Because before, you know, John Robinson was here first, then he hired Mike Vrabel. It was easy to look at the roster and think, okay, well, Mike Vrabel has done his best coaching job with the players that he's been dealt.
Yeah.
He did a great job promoting Shane Bowen to defensive coordinator. But at the end of the day, John Robinson was here before Vrabel, and he was the one picking the personnel and had final say. But now I think, depending on what Mike Vrabel's role is, which we from the outside looking in might not have a full idea of what it is, but I think that's what it comes down to.
Yeah, and I think that – so one, I mean, the OC is going to be all on him.
Correct.
You know, but I mean, I guess he's not going to have final say, but he's definitely going to have an influence on who the GM is. I mean, she's said that in the second round of interviews he'll be involved in. And that's why I said yesterday that I think GM stays internal because he's been working with Ryan Cowden. That's the thing. And they made some moves as soon as John was gone. You saw some guys get cut and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. So I kind of feel like that's where he stays inside. Kelly remains kind of where he's been, and they go get somebody outside for OC. That's what I think. I could end up being wrong, and it could be reversed. But that's, you know, and we found out yesterday, Monty Austinfort getting the job with Arizona, that they basically told him, hey, you're not getting it here. That's what I think.
Yeah, happened.
Which to me points even more towards Ryan Cowden.
Yeah, or they've already made a decision on, okay, these are the X, Y, and Z candidates are the one we want to move on to the second round and we want to speak to again, because he probably said, hey, I got offered it in Arizona. And then, like you said, the Titans are probably like, okay, yep, take that because we are going to go a different way with it. I also think, too, the fact that they named Ryan Cowden the interim, why would they switch then to Monty Austinfort
right.
once they already named somebody internally? The way I look at it is I actually think that there's – more, I think it's more likely that Tim Kelly is the hire within and they go on the outside for a GM. Because
we'll
I think when you look at this team, the biggest problem has been the personnel, right? And some of those big moves such as the AJ, the Dylan Raidens drafting, and things like that. But, you know, that's going to have to be – new scouts are going to have to be brought in, right? So there's a lot of people that play into who you want to be on this team, whereas I think the reason Mike Vrabel brought Tim Kelly here – I mean, Tim Kelly's been an offensive coordinator, and now he's taking an even further step back when he was under Todd Downing here as the passing game coordinator. So to me, I look at it as – why would he have even come here if he didn't think he had an opportunity to be the offensive coordinator for this team?
Right.
When Todd Downing was already on the hot seat a bit after last year, or at least from the outside looking in.
Absolutely. Coming up next, there was something funny that I saw last night that we have to talk about, and Peyton Manning has maybe ruined my whole mindset of things. We'll do that coming up next. Chase and Michelle, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.
Coming out of halftime, all those halftime adjustments, it really paid off right there. That I don't know about you, I don't think I ever made a halftime adjustment in my entire 18-year career. I think that's the biggest myth in football, the halftime adjustments, right? You go in, you use the restroom, you eat a couple of oranges,
And then the head coach says, all right, let's go.
Yeah, no question. I mean, you're in there for like 3 minutes.
Yeah, you know? There's no time.
That's Peyton and Eli Manning last night, the Manning cast, look, I heard that, and it was obviously circulated around Twitter. Chase and Michelle here with you. And I go, this has just ruined every, you know, just thought that I've ever had about the NFL, because you've seen teams come out different after halftime. It's like, oh, they talked about it. They made their halftime adjustments. And Peyton's like, nope.
Well, everything we yelled at for, everything we yelled at Todd Downing for at the beginning of this season, too, it's like, why can't they score in the second half? What is he doing in halftime? Is he not making adjustments? Is he not, what is he doing? And
yeah, Peyton's like,
here we are.
Like, no, I go in, I mean, use the bathroom and eat an orange, and I'm that's it. That's my adjustment.
I mean, it makes sense. It really is only 10 minutes. We're not talking like college football halftime where those can last forever, I feel like. It's like 10 minutes. They're quick. They're efficient.
Yeah, now, I mean, and I'd love to hear Derek's thoughts on this, you know, later. But, I mean, I would assume that they kind of have a halftime plan that they, you know, like, hey, this is what we're going to go to. And, you know, as they've looked at film and stuff like that. But I think he makes a good point, because you're really not in the locker room very long, because you come back out for warm-ups and loosen back up. And, you know, it's just it's a quick little break. But I laughed very hard at that.
See, I'm always caught between wanting to watch the real broadcast and the Manning cast, because I like to hear the play calling, you know, by Collinsworth and Tirico. But then I do love
the Manning cast.
The Manning cast. Well, those are Sunday. Or Tirico and Collinsworth Sunday.
Aikman and Buck.
I'm a little confused. I feel like every day is Sunday Night Football and then Monday. Yeah, Aikman and Buck. And then but the ESPN Manning, the Manning brothers, they are fun to listen to.
They're hilarious. And I'm sure Peyton – you know, I missed this part, but I saw on Twitter that Peyton was losing his ever-loving mind over the missed kicks, because Peyton and kickers, he holds kickers accountable.
Listen, he wasn't the only one. You saw the close-up of Dak's face on the bench and Mike McCarthy's.
I was losing it.
And then when he I mean, you're just very, as Cowboys fans, very, very lucky. Look, that Brady didn't have an epic comeback and they ended up losing.
I got a text from a very dear friend, and I know, you know, it's bad when this is the result. And she said, I'm pretty sure you would have made at least one of those. And I'm like, I don't know about that. I appreciate the faith. We might have to try that.
We should. That'd be fun.
That'd actually
along
be funny.
With our, we're planning, you know, a training camp media events to put through a workout, because I think that'd be fun.
Yeah, I haven't kicked in so long that I would have to get like warmed up and remember how to do it.
Also stretch. We don't want to pull a hammy. We don't want to pull a hammy. At the national championship, I had a friend who was there covering it, and they had a whole area where you could do like an obstacle course and then make a kick. She made it. So shout out Alyssa. But it's a lot harder than it looks.
Oh yeah. So a few years ago, when we were up at the combine, you can run the 40 and, you know, do a lot of the drills and stuff. And so I said to Jared, and Floyd was laughing. Floyd was like, oh, I want to see this. I said, why don't we give Floyder the stopwatch and Jared and I run the 40?
Jared
and
beat you.
No, he wouldn't do it.
Oh, Jared, come on.
He said he'd do it, and then we ran out of time there, and so – we kept on him about it, and I got it set up at my high school to let us use the field, and he wouldn't do it. He was scared. I'm like, you're going to beat me. Like, what is the big deal?
Jeez.
So I won by default, because I actually went and did it.
Jared, I hope you're listening. You have to do that.
He'll
Come
have
on.
Some sort of defense, but, you know.
We need to have a off-season event of all of the combine, some of the combine skills, and have our entire staff here do it, and can make it a competition.
Oh, it would be fun. I think it'd be hilarious. But I am curious of listening today with Caroline Willie and D Mace, Derek's thoughts on halftime adjustments, and how much you really can change the game plan as you go along. Because I, you know, Peyton, that's the thing I like about the Manning cast, is Peyton will just be like, I'm tired of, you know, these BS comments that people make. This is what actually happens.
Well, and it's funny, too, because I feel like in movies you see, too, right? Like a team goes in at halftime and you just see this huge whiteboard and it's this long speech and it's this long just speech to all of his players and everything like that. So it but I mean, it makes sense when Peyton said that. No, guys, yeah, we all just like go in there, pee quick, grab an orange, and then we're back out there. We have to warm up because halftime really is only 10 minutes long.
Right. So, I mean, it's a short time for sure. But the Bucks get beat by my beloved Dallas Cowboys last night. Now, I think I have not done too much gloating today.
Yeah, go for it.
I think I've been good.
I was very confident. I know Robbie was confident that we were going to see a Tom Brady advancement into the divisional round, even as bad as this Tampa Bay Buccaneers team was this year. And I did not have faith in Dak. And I knew the Cowboys had a good roster, but I personally didn't have faith in Dak, and I need to. He looked great last night.
He did.
I was very wrong. I thought he would have shrunk with the pressure on him, the spotlight on him, but
no. I mean, but now here's my mentality. We're on to San Francisco. That's how I feel. I'm like, all right, let's not get too high, not get too low. Because you got to start getting ready now. Because it's a short week. They played Monday. So now they got, you know, San Francisco's had extra time because they played Saturday.
Correct.
So
I'm assuming they'll be the Sunday game?
They are Sunday night on Fox. Oof. Cowboys and 49ers.
Let's think of that. We got Cowboys, 49ers. We got Bengals, Bills.
That's the game before it. 2 o'clock on CBS.
Giants, Eagles.
That's Saturday night, 7:15 on Fox.
I think we could be getting a little upset central there. And then Jags, Kansas City, which
3:30 on Saturday on NBC.
I hope is a close one.
I don't know. I don't know. Let's look at the lines when we come back because they're out. So let's look at the lines and then. Is this goodbye for Tom Brady? We'll do that next. Chase and Michelle, 1025, 1063, The Game.
I just want to say thank you guys for everything this year. I really appreciate all your effort, and I know it's hard for you guys, too. It's hard for us players to make it through, and you guys got a tough job, and I appreciate all that you guys do to cover us and everyone who watches and is a big fan of the sport. We're very grateful for everyone's support, and, you know, hopefully, you know, I love this organization. It's a great place to be, and thank you, everybody, for welcoming me. All you regulars, and just very grateful for the respect, and I hope I gave the same thing back to you guys. So thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Tom Brady last night closing out his press conference. Could that be goodbye to Tampa? Could that be goodbye to everyone? And he goes and he joins Fox Sports. We'll see. I think he's going to take time. He needs to. But I believe that he's going to be back with another team. And I don't think it's going to be here. I think it's going to be Vegas. It could be the 49ers if they don't win the Super Bowl. But I don't know. I just feel like the Josh McDaniels connection is a real one.
You know what I'm here for? And this team hasn't been thrown around there, and there's been absolutely no reports. Tom Brady to the Jets.
Well, I've brought that up before, and
we were talking about.
I think we've talked about that, and I think you know, and they've fired their offensive coordinator, or parted ways, or however you know they decided to go in different directions, however you want to put it, with Mike LaFleur. So I think that's an interesting one. He could certainly handle that. It would put him back in the AFC East, so he'd get the Pats twice a year. So that would be spicy.
That would be fun.
To get Belichick twice a year.
In New York, you know, maybe.
That would be on the level of Favre going to Minnesota.
Yeah.
Like Patriots fans have been cool. They've been like, hey, we miss him, but he's in the NFC and he's in Tampa. But if he comes back and he goes to the Jets, we'll be like, yo, what are we doing, Tommy?
No, and especially with the little success that they've had since he left. I saw some crazy thing the other day, and it was like, this is the first time the Steelers and Patriots haven't made the playoffs since, like, early 2000s.
Yeah.
I mean, if you think about it, it's true, because he was at the Patriots so many years. You had Roethlisberger with the Steelers for so many years. And then when they left, you had a couple years in between. They were able to sneak in. I mean, the Steelers snuck in last year with Roethlisberger hanging on by a thread, but I mean, Patriots. If I was a Patriots fan, that would put salt in a wound.
Yeah, I still think he goes to Vegas, but
you are set on him going to Vegas.
Yeah, it just all makes sense. There's weapons there. It's McDaniels. You know, it's like
there are weapons, but they have an awful offensive line.
Yeah, they're gonna have to fix the O line. They're absolutely gonna have to fix the O line. There's another one that I think is a long, long shot, but what about Miami?
See, that was
because I don't know about Tua. I mean, three concussions, maybe in 1 year. I mean, that's got to be discussed.
Well, it's scary too, right? Because first off, you know, taking football out of it, having three concussions of his magnitude in such a short period of time. I mean, that's not good for anyone. I mean, I had a concussion just by falling down the stairs. You know, I was a freshman in college, and you know, I couldn't drive for a while. And that's like the impact he's had, you know, by the hits and then multiple hits and coming back too early and everything we saw. I mean, that's scary, right? Like, you want him to have quality of life. You don't know how bad it is. We haven't heard anything on it.
I got one by falling up the stairs.
Oh, gosh.
I tripped over a step when I was a kid.
Because
I have big feet, and so I tripped over a step, and then I just face-planted into a TV.
That's
a very chaste fitting story. Yep. It's fine.
If we go to text line quick, though, David has a good point. From a job security standpoint, I feel like McDaniels is crossing his fingers and saying his prayers that 12 comes to the silver and black. Very good point. You know, I thought that McDaniels actually – I was surprised when we saw the whole Derek Carr stuff. I thought McDaniels would be gone before Derek Carr would be gone from the Raiders.
Yeah, me too. I want to do a fun game either tomorrow or Thursday. And it's fun now because it's January, where we go through and name who we think will be the starting quarterback for every team. Now, most teams, you know, are going to be easy, but there could be some moves. And so I think we should do that. That'd be a fun exercise.
Yeah, it would be. I mean, some would be obvious, but there would be some that we could go back to the audio. I mean, especially when you remember last year, all the quarterback carousel we had, right? We didn't know where Rodgers was going. We didn't know where Russell Wilson was going. We didn't know if Jimmy G was going to leave. There were a lot of – Matt Ryan to the Colts. There were a lot of different quarterbacks moving around, but I think it'd be fun. And then we definitely would have to revisit this, like, the first week of training camp or something.
Yeah, like, just off the top of my head, the question marks right now, I would say Miami is one. I mean, because of Tua. So Miami, I'd put New England in there. The Jets, Baltimore, don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Pittsburgh, maybe?
Kenny's their guy.
I think it's
Kenny's
Kenny
the guy, yeah.
Titans, Colts, Texans, Raiders, Broncos, maybe, but I think they're stuck with Russ.
No, they're just new coach.
Giants, I assume it's going to be Jones again, but he's a free agent.
Daniel Jones is their guy.
Commanders, Packers, for sure. I'd put the Panthers, Bucks, Saints.
Rams, potentially.
Even maybe the Falcons. That entire division you could put in. Even though they drafted Ritter, I don't know if that's a foregone conclusion. Who'd you say, Rams?
Rams. I mean, even the Panthers, they drafted Matt Corral, which people forget about because he's been injured. But, I mean,
49ers.
Yeah. And then if you take a look at the draft, I mean, you look at the – I've said this multiple times. The Tennessee Titans are at 11, but almost everybody ahead of them needs a quarterback.
Yeah.
Or is ready to draft a quarterback.
Yeah, so that could be a fun one to do. We'll definitely do that. But Tom Brady. Who knows? Is it goodbye? I say it's goodbye to Tampa, but not goodbye for good.
I completely agree. He is not riding off. He's not riding off after that performance in a playoff game. He'll be back. Not, I don't think to Tampa. I think it was a goodbye to Tampa.
Oh, it's a goodbye.
Not a goodbye to the NFL.
Yeah. No, I think he's not going to go out like that. Mm-hmm. He's like, no, I need, I need to have one more bite at the apple, even though he has absolutely zero to prove. But this is just, this is all ego driven. And the and he wants to be the first to win three Super Bowls with three different teams.
I mean, I just think he wants to win another Super Bowl.
Yeah, but I mean, that there would be something said for that if he can say.
I mean, he's already won more Super Bowls than franchises.
Yeah, but like, I mean, if he can say that and, hey, I have three rings with three different franchises, like that's just another flex that he has.
I almost feel like
it means nothing, but it's
too,
a flex.
Right, his drive of needing to win and his competitiveness, like he. The perfect time to retire would have been after that win in Tampa Bay.
Yeah.
But now that he's tried to run it back a couple times and hasn't had success in the postseason or even really made it close enough, like made it past, right, that wild card round, divisional round, like he
– yeah.
He's craving it.
And I've said that – I don't know if you've heard me say this, but I have said for him, when you know he's retired, when it's like you, he's 100% done – if I'm the Pro Football Hall of Fame, I waive the 5-year rule and I put him in immediately. Like, he has earned that.
Yeah.
I mean, there's just, it's silly at this point. And then when he gives his speech, he can go, hey, all 32 teams, including the Patriots, double bird, 6-round pick, Brady out. Like, like he has every right to do that and have all his rings on and just be like, yo. 6-round pick. What's up?
Yeah. I mean,
it is the greatest underdog story of all time.
And we don't even I don't even classify him as an underdog anymore just because I mean, all that he's done and all that he's proved from being in the league.
Yeah.
Forever. Honestly, my whole lifetime.
We need to have the listeners vote on our walk-off music because we need some walk-off music. I think we might need the listeners' help.
Ben Roethlisberger is probably so happy that Rodgers and Brady also didn't retire last year because could you imagine that?
I know. Well, what a
class. They all need their own years.
What a class for sure. That's going to do it for us, but stick around. Caroline, Willie, and D-Mace, they're all next. 102.5, 106.3 The Game.
Hey guys, it's Ryan. I want to tell you about my new pastime, Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has been around for over a decade, delivering the most fun you can have online. Play social casino-style games for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21+.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks. Like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.